This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 10 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Tern Armstrong, and this is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds this week, and we also rate the players based on how well we think they're doing in the game. Joining me this week is Booyah. How are you doing, Booyah?
I'm doing very well, Tern, and let me say at the top, the visual viewers are thinking, what happened to Melissa? I'll tell you exactly what happened to Melissa. So phone went off.
Sorry, I had to set the stage here.
Of course.
Continue.
So a phone went off approximately 20 minutes before the podcast. And Melissa was told, you picked up, you have to be quiet and not there for the next hour. So then Melissa, now same fate as Betty this week, couldn't speak for the next hour. She'll be here at some point, but she's not here right now. She answered the
phone. Yes. Melissa got a task from Big Brother. She's on a call right now. She will hopefully be joining us in time for the ratings, or hopefully maybe sooner. Who knows? Or maybe not. Maybe she never shows up. You don't know with these things, but hopefully she'll be here to come and join us at some point for the roundtable. It's nothing serious. I believe she got caught up at work here. We will soldier on as we talk about the week in Big Brother Canada 10 here, Booyah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to do our best. We're going to see, you know, you and I spoke when the week kicked off. Here we are, middle of the week. Some interesting developments have happened, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about until then.
Yeah, Moses says she's dumping spaghetti all over herself.
Honestly, if she comes in with that visual gag, kudos.
All right. Well, we are, of course, again here to talk about everything from the feeds here. It's been another interesting week. Things have finally kind of slowed down as the week is really solidified into what's happening now. We're seeing a lot now of some plans for the future, as we usually do once we settle the week in, which, I mean, it's been difficult to settle the week in last week. But this week we're looking at the future a little bit, but it's still very nebulous because nobody's had any chance to like lock something in and prove that it's the case, because it's all been so hectic for the last couple of weeks. So it's still a very messy house. No structure, no real structure in sight. And we're just looking at, the end of, no more Kyle.
That is the one definitive thing, is that Kyle gone. Kyle more, no more. Exactly. Honestly, the word of the season is fluid. It's very fluid in there. A lot can shift day to day. Honestly, how many times this season, I can honestly not count on my hands how many updates have become obsolete by the next day because everything in that day has changed things. So,
yeah. It's been interesting. We'll try and walk you through not only what happened here this week, what led to the end of Kyle's game, but also what we might be looking at heading into the future. It is still all so very fluid, as we said, that it'll be difficult to give a good answer for where things will go, because it's going to be decided when this person wins HOH. Right. We might have some tentative plans. We know that some people are definitely looking at others, but For all we know, all the people targeting Herman could be convinced not to once they win HOH by Herman, because he's good at that. Or, mm-hmm. you know, or any other number of things, because no plan is so locked in that, that they couldn't be talked out of it once they get the power and actually talk to people. So, so in terms of the future, it's difficult to say, but what we can let you know what has happened up until now with a Geno HOH. It was really looking like for a second, oh man, those people that bought some Kyle shares, they risked it all. And wow, is this going to pay off? And then you know what Kyle did to the people that bought his shares?
Kyle pooped on everyone.
All over them. All over them.
All over.
You hoped for a double. You hoped for quadrupling your money. It was a fun ride though. If you did invest in Kyle, you had a good day and a half, you know, and it was feeling nice. But yeah, it's been bad for those stockholders.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure this is what happened before too. It was like the last season, there was the Titanic. And I think there was one more week after as well, where it was like, okay, surely it can't get worse. We'll try this time. And that was the week he got evicted, I think. That's just my memory. It might be wrong. But man, just don't invest in Kyle's.
If there's a Kyle in the house, don't put your money there. Hold even. You might be in a better spot. At least the hold guarantees you $20 increase. So it's risky business for sure.
Yeah. Who's the most successful Kyle? On Big Brother Canada, on Big Brother, even.
Okay, so it's definitely not Kyle from season 2. Okay.
Nope, he was out second, right?
He was out second. Kyle from season 8 got removed.
He was probably doing the best, weirdly, but probably the worst result, like outcome overall, yeah. being removed from the game.
He went out what? Like technically... him and Jamar went out right in the same spot of like around it was third week or so.
Third or fourth, something like that. I mean, who knows? Because so many people, only one person had been evicted at that point.
Yeah. The four people got kicked out. Three people got kicked out. One got evicted and then the season got canceled. So that was done. And then Kyle Moore last year went out week 4. Kyle Moore this year went out week 4. Kyle Moore last year, you know, ends up in 10th place given the... 11th play, given there was less people. So technically that Kyle did better standings wise than this Kyle.
I think we have to say BBKen9 Kyle Moore, most successful Kyle. He also came out of the season with a showmance. Don't know if it lasted. Don't think it lasted, but still came out of the show with one.
It was there for a little bit. I think it's done now. I would assume. I honestly do not keep up. Once the season's over, Puya's done. I don't keep up with a lot that goes on. So.
And also probably the least disliked of all the Kyles, the BBKen9 Kyle.
I think the BBKen9 Kyle does come out unscathed compared to the other Kyles as well. I think a lot of people had higher hopes for this Kyle changing that trajectory. Did
he was
not
the chosen
do that.
Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. He was the chosen Kyle and he failed us.
It was a chosen Kyle, but the receipt was held in hand and then the receipt was given back to the store. So
he didn't have the high ground.
No. Was there a Kyle in BBUS?
I don't think so. I can't remember a Kyle for BBUS.
No. Closest is Kyland, but that's not a Kyle. That doesn't count. That does not count. So
yeah. Yeah. It's weird that we've had 4 Kyles on Big Brother Canada and 0 on Big Brother US.
Yeah. Even while to consider that none of them have made jury either. So
yeah. Sorry, Kyle's out there.
Don't apply. Go by your middle name. Whatever your middle name is, that's your name when you get cast. Okay. Don't use Kyle because it's not good.
My name is Kylo.
Kylo might be
Kylo Ren. There you go.
That one vowel changes everything.
You think that's how they came up with the name in Star Wars? They were just like, all right, we need a name. How about like Kylo? Oh.
Hey, it sounds different. We like it. Yeah, there you go.
Level of creativity by the third one. Mm-hmm. Definitely was that involved. All right. Anyway, Geno is the HOH. And initially, he's saying, no, not going to put up Kyle. Of course not. Why would I do that? Why would I put up an ally? That's what Kyle did. He's looking to put up Jess. He's looking to put up Marty for optics. This is Geno's true plan is that he wants to put up Marty for optics. The idea is that if he puts Marty up on the block and he gives him a big old speech about betrayal, backstabbing, then he'll really scare anyone else in the house out of betraying him in the future. This is what happens when you turn your back on me. I put you up and I say things like, you betrayed me.
Don't double cross Gino. That's basically what he was hoping the lesson of the speech would be, or the optical nomination would be.
Mm. And so he didn't actually want Marty to go. And Marty wasn't the one that was looking like he would go. Between Marty and Jess as the initial nominees, Jess was the one that most people were talking about voting out between the two of them. But that did not end up mattering because Marty won the power of veto. And with that, Gino is going to have to name a replacement. And for the fourth straight week in a row, somebody has won the power of veto. Marty, the first person to win two competitions on the season. Jess, the first person to be nominated twice in the season. So we're finally starting to get some repeats.
It's, you know, it's come a little late, but I didn't mind, you know, BB20, I think we went 9 weeks, nine new HOHs. I remember that statistic sticking out to me. I did enjoy that. And honestly, this season has made a good case for why I'm not too mad at the HOH not playing in the veto. I like that it forces a change. It adds some pacing to the, more pacing to the game, more movement in the game. Because how many seasons of BBUS have we watched where, oh, HOH won the veto. All right. Well, then, you know, the rest of the week is kind of set in stone. I like that there's a little bit more movement. I like that no one can feel safe until the veto is done, even more so than other seasons, potentially.
Yeah. You know, I remember when they introduced it in season 7 and I was intrigued by the idea and I was like, let's see how this plays out. And I think over the course of Big Brother Canada 7, we saw in that particular season, it felt like it kind of helped out the Pretty Boys because it kind of prevented them from hurting themselves by winning too many competitions in a row. Yes. And putting a huge target on their back. But that was a pretty niche scenario. And I think I still was saying like the jury's out. Like I'd love to see how it performs in another season. Then, you know, skip Big Brother Canada. I'm sorry, Big Brother Canada 8. You're just, you know,
don't count.
It's not fair, but yeah. Big Brother Canada 9, I think it turns out pretty well. And so far, Big Brother Canada 10, it's really, really working out. I mean, the fact that a nominee has won the veto almost every time is great. Now, I do think, again, I'd still say only three real seasons of it so far, and this isn't even a full season yet. I would still say the jury's out. I would still want to be collecting data, primarily because I'm worried about, like, okay, once you start to realize that a nominee is probably going to win the veto, you're probably just going to be backdooring every single person, right? That's probably going to be become the new meta in Big Brother Canada. Honestly, probably the new meta in Big Brother Canada 10 for the rest of the season, because they're all talking about, oh, you can't put your target up initially. That's a terrible idea. And so what will that do to the game, entertainment-wise? You know, balance wise, I don't think it'll be too bad, but I'd like to see how it plays out. I think overall, anything that's a check on the HOH's power is a good thing, because the HOH has too much power, in my opinion. It's too valuable to win HOH. And that's why it's always surprising to me that so many people decide to throw it. So anything that makes it more difficult and makes the HOH come out of the week a little less powerful, I think is good.
Right. And I do like BB Can doing, you know, they've modified the veto thing just enough by removing the HOH as a participant that it becomes their thing. I feel like I like that Canada has something to distinguish itself from the US. So when a newcomer comes on and says, hey, so I've never watched BB Can, is there any differences? I can point out, yes, there's one key difference. The HOH cannot play in the veto. I think it'll be interesting to see with what you mentioned about potentially having everyone just shift into the backdoor seat, because we're obviously, the numbers are going to start dwindling. We're going to get to a point where that wheel they're going to spin is going to have a lot less people on it. So it might be a very scary situation to risk not putting your person on the block. But also at this point, the trend has not been good, kind to those who have been targeted. Also, Jacqueline mentioned in the chat that so far, none of the renoms have gone home. Someone that was initially on the block has still gone home, except for this week. I think we're going to end up having that streak broken.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, thinking it through. Yeah, that's definitely been the case. Obviously, the first 2 weeks, that was the intention, right? That they intended for, like, the, well, I guess like, you know, it's hard to say what happened the first week, because there actually was some talk about Melina potentially being the primary target between her and Jess. But either way, I think Herman was like, either one of them leave. And then Marty wanted Jay out from the start. And so when Jay didn't win the veto, it was over. Then Kyle fails a backdoor, but it wasn't even an intended backdoor. and now we'll see probably the first intentional backdoor success here in the season. And I fully suspect that next HOH, and people are talking about it too, like people talking about taking out Gino next week, it's all backdoor. People talking about taking out Herman, it's usually backdoor. You know, that's kind of the way to go. So here we are. Gino needs a replacement nominee, and he's thinking, he's going back and forth between Tanisha and Betty, and then he receives some new information from Helena, who tells him, like, yes, all of your suspicions are confirmed. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on all of the misconceptions in the house in terms of where people lie and all of that. I went into those in detail on the last few live feed updates, but basically Gino felt like he couldn't put Tanisha on the block, even though he wanted to, because he believes her to be a mastermind, because he felt like she was such a mastermind that he would not have the numbers to take her out. And that he would fail at taking the shot, and he would end up in a bad spot. And so he felt like he was so outnumbered, so overwhelmed by the other side of the house, that he needed to put up Kyle to appease them. And this is something that Summer had been pushing quite a lot. And so that's sort of the basics of what happened there. And what's going on? I don't. Oh, Melissa's joining us.
I made it. I wanted to make a big entrance. I heard the
Melissa.
Music, I was like, that's my cue.
How are you doing, Melissa?
Oh, I'm good. Sorry, I'm late, guys. I was just, you know, getting ready, and it just like took forever. I'm just kidding. Mm. That was the first time I've ever had a work situation pop up at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday. Mm. I was like, that is my time. Sorry about that.
Well, we expected you to show up with spaghetti all over you.
Yeah.
Figured that was what the work thing was.
I should have done that.
Yeah.
I should have been planning that. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
There's always next week.
It's all right. Yeah. We're just talking about Gino and his decision to put Kyle up. What are your thoughts?
Yes. Gosh, I went back and forth on this one, to be honest, because, you know, I was thinking like, hey, you know, there's like a few reasons for each way. So like, number one, like on the side of like, yeah, it's a good move is, you know, it makes sense. The whole house is against him. He really had such a bad HOH that, you know, it no blood on Gino's hands to get Kyle out. It appeases the house. It makes people happy. And we're early enough in the game that, like, it's still a little fluid. He can still, like, pop on in and get in an alliance and really, like, you know, form something solid with people if he does this. And that was my initial thought, was like, eh, you know what? I get it. It's not bad. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, it's not necessarily bad for Gino if Kyle leaves, but it doesn't need to be at Gino's hand that Kyle leaves is the thing. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, I think he's just getting rid of an ally for no real reason, when that could be an extra week for him that he doesn't go home. Yeah. You know, even it's one of those things where it's like, if somebody else was HOH and they were like, Gino, Kyle's got to go, we got to get him out, the whole house wants it, then obviously, yeah, don't stick your neck out for him because he's a liability. But if like, you don't need to be the one doing this. You don't need to be the one just doing the house's dirty work. Obviously, they want him out because he's not working with them. At this point, Kyle's loyal to you. And you even saw in the episode, it was like, they're like final three. And that you shouldn't then all of a sudden be like, you know, this guy's not going to vote me out. He wants me in a final three with him. Even if it was like a, you know, a joking moment, like who else does he have? And I'm not saying put all your eggs in the Kyle basket and be like, oh, Kyle, it's you and me versus everyone else. We're doing this together. But like, you don't need to be the one who kicks Kyle out for everyone else. It just makes it so easy for everybody. And and here's the thing. It's like hindsight is 2020. We're not going to know if this was a good move for him until later. Like, because, you know, later on, you know, just next week, it could be Kyle or Gino's in the middle of the power structure and the whole house is now, you know, totally reformed and he's in the best alliance and he's in such a good spot. Or he gets Kyle out and everyone just moves along and is like, yeah, no, Gino, you're not like part of us. Like, we're still on the other side of the house. Like, now we're just going to kick you out. Like, I just feel like we don't know exactly how it's going to go. But from my perspective, it doesn't make sense to kick out someone who was working with you. It just to you to be the one to do it. Like, sure, mm-hmm. Let him go. But, you know, so, yeah, no, overall, I don't think it's a good move for him. I think he should have gone another way with this HOH. It just doesn't really make sense. And I had a lot of like messages from people this week being like, Melissa, on the round table, you need to kick some sense into Taryn because he's convinced it's a bad move for Gino. And I'm like, yeah, same. So sorry to all of you who was hoping that I would like go against the grain or something and like tell Taryn he's wrong. But I really do think that in this situation, it's a huge risk to take him out like this. And maybe the payoff is he ends up in a big alliance, but maybe the payoff is that literally nothing changes. You lose an ally and they kick you out next. So it's a risk.
Well, that's fine, Melissa. I'll do it. I'll be the one to say it. Okay. So here's the thing, right? I don't think it's like the best move at all by any means, right, personally. However, I do think that, you know, and I've seen a lot of discourse about this over the last couple of days. A lot of people want to and do reference, like, you know, historically when this has happened, like when Jessica Graf put up Ramses, that didn't work out for her. Or when Ryan Ballantyne did it, didn't work out for him. This house, me and Taryn just talked about how fluid this house is, how unknown this house is. I feel like in a house like this with this cast, this isn't potentially the worst situation for Gino to find himself in. Kyle is, you know, an extension of him, can, you know, is a number for him. If he makes it to jury, would be a vote for him. Yes, 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 yes. But also, if that extension of you, if that arm is infected, get rid of the arm. Get rid of the arm. Grow a new one like Groot. You'll be fine. You can maybe do something else with that and move forward. Because I do think that a lot of people are just so thankful that Gino has done this. Oh my God, thank you so much. Like, this is, you've made such a chill week. They think it's the present. It's a whole present for them that they've finally been able to relax after the messy week that was last week. So I do think that that is something good for him. And I do think that ultimately he could find himself in another position. He could be in a position where he resets. He could be in a position where new people come along and get him. Now, is he completely immune from touching the block? No, there's definitely people that will throw him up still, probably regardless. But I do think that there are probably more people that are going to now want to associate with Gino. Whereas if Kyle stayed, they'd be like, well, listen, I kind of want to maybe talk to Gino, but it, like, Kyle's attached to him. You know what I mean? Like, Kyle still is someone he's working with, someone he's looking at. So I do think that you could look at it both ways. I don't think there's a definitive yes or no, but I don't think this was the worst thing Gino could have done this week. Definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing he could have done is, you know, pull a Kyle, right? Like, he could have put up Jace and Kyle and then been like, and also I'm putting up Betty. And also I would love to put up Summer. And like, I mean, it could be definitely a lot worse, but I do think that this is a big mistake. I mean, I always do. I feel like targeting your ally is just never a good thing. I mean, like, take away what Kyle did, right? Just pretend that, like, the sentiment to take out Kyle still exists, but it wouldn't be as, you know, justified because of what Kyle did or any whatever, right? People just don't like him. We really don't like Kyle. We like you, Gina, but we really don't like Kyle. Pretend last week didn't exist. We just don't like him. And everyone in the house was telling Gina, like, you should really take out your friend, and not any of us. You should really take him out. And then, Gino does it. And they're all like, oh, thank you so much, Gino. That's so great. I'm so grateful to you for doing this. Like, what is that? Like, are we really going to be like, that was a good move. That was a good HOH for Gino, that he took out his friend, because everyone said so. And look, everyone's like really happy that he did it. Of course they're happy he did it.
Right.
Why wouldn't they be? It's not them.
He's not really getting any like promises out of this. Like, I feel like he's not getting like, oh, okay, well, if you do this, we'll form an alliance of like you, me, and so-and-so, and that'll be the crew or whatever. Like, he's not really even getting any like set commitments from anyone for doing this. It's kind of just like, oh, we'll be really happy if you do this. We'll be really grateful. And it's just, it does feel like a way to like appease the house. Like, he feels on the outs. He thinks everybody wants this. So in order for me to be part of the everybody, I'm going to do this for them. And like, I get that logic. And if it was like anybody else, like someone he's not working with, and it was just like somebody, you know, whatever, then I understand that. But I do feel like when you're on the outs and there's somebody that's working with you, even if that person's a liability, like maybe you don't trust them fully and maybe you're willing to cut them at a certain point, but like, you don't need to be the one to do it. I just feel like that's the emphasis here, is like, he doesn't need to be the one to take Kyle out, when that is just another week that you could survive, is the week that we get Kyle out. It's like, it's 2 weeks instead of 1 week, you know, like he could be next or he could be right after Kyle. I don't know. I just feel like it just seems short-sighted.
It's like the Big Brother gods are demanding sacrifice, right? And everyone is like, everyone's outside of Kyle's house with pitchforks, and Gino's inside of the house because he was over for dinner. And they're like, we want Kyle. We need to sacrifice him to the Big Brother gods. And they're like, hey, if you send out Gino, if you send out Kyle, we'll leave you alone. We promise. We'll totally be friends. But if you don't send out Kyle, we're coming for both of you. We're sacrificing you both to the gods. And Gino's like, sorry, Kyle. And he pushes him out the door, and they grab Kyle and they sacrifice him to the Big Brother gods. The problem is, Big Brother gods are not happy until there's only one person left. And guess what happens when they want another sacrifice? Everyone's still out there with pitchforks. Sorry, Gino, we don't want to turn on each other yet. Mm-hmm. We need another sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a rough spot. And I think if you think about it, like, is there any actual person in the house that would have targeted Gino that is not going to target Gino because of this decision, right? I don't think so. Maybe at best, Helena, but even then, definitely not. I mean, it would have been Kyle and then Herman as a backup. Like, mm-hmm. maybe Jess would have gone after Gino, but Jess would have been the potential target if he put up Betty. A lot of people would have been after Kyle, and only a couple of them would have backup targeted Gino. The people that would have backup targeted Gino are now actively targeting Gino. Those same people, Betty, Tanisha, Betty's kind of looking at Marty a little bit right now, but Gino's at the very least the backup to Marty, so he hasn't gone up in any position there. The people that wouldn't have targeted him, like Summer, who would have done like probably Kyle and Jace or something like that, are probably now like, Summer's probably just going to target Jace. Like his allies, him and his allies are one step removed from safety now, because people are looking at them as opposed to, I think, Kyle. So I really just don't think in actual terms, he's really progressed all that much. It has opened some doors that he could work through, but he's not a very active player. I don't know how much that's going to really work out for him. I don't think that it's all bad. There are some positives to it for sure. But I do feel like at the end of the day, like a rule of thumb for Big Brother, in my opinion, is never target your allies. Just, it's never worth it. You can't appease the mob, because the mob's still a mob, you know, yeah. Like it's not going to stop.
Your targets should always be someone who's coming after you first and foremost, and also someone who's a big threat to your game. Like, if someone's not coming after you and they're not a threat to your game, and I don't see Kyle winning at this point, then, like, you know, if anything, Kyle would be helpful for your game because he wouldn't be targeting you and he's likely to win an HOH again. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I think part of the reason is that people are so, like, this isn't so cut and dry as, like, it's Kyle. Kyle is a liability. He is, you know, not a good ally. He goes back and forth. He targets his own allies. So, like, it's hard to see, like, no, but this guy is good for your game. Like, and I'm not saying that he necessarily is, like, a good ally. I'm not trying to argue that point because he's clearly not. But, you know, I'm not saying Gino needs to work with him at all as an ally moving forward, but just to have somebody around that's a bigger threat than you, that people want out of the game, that's not coming after you, that would protect you if they won HOH or they won Vito or something, like, that's good for you to have. And I guess, like, I think he's being very, very influenced by the fact that people are coming to him and saying, you know, well, you know, you've got Kyle, like, the Kyle stink on you. You're literally just, like, part, we associate you with Kyle, and Kyle's, you know, bad vibes are now part of you. And, like, he's probably like, well, I don't want that. I don't want bad vibes associated with me. Like, well, let's just get rid of Kyle so we get rid of those. But the problem is those linger, and people are still going to think of you as an ally of Kyle's, not as an ally of theirs. They're going to be like, okay, well, I guess now that Kyle's gone, Gino and Jace, because you guys voted differently than the rest of us. Sorry. It's an easy target.
Yeah. You'd never want to rely on the goodwill of other people in the Big Brother house.
No.
Like, oh, this will win me a lot of goodwill. Like, goodwill is not a real currency in the house.
Well, so we can see, I think, you know, with this season, Jess is someone who looked to be in very big trouble after the first week. Like, they were literally going to go on the block if anyone else but Marty kind of would have won. And then they use that week enough to, you know, build something to maybe catapult themselves to a better spot. Obviously, then Kyle winning, they did the same thing with Kyle. We're able to get through. I think if Gino can avoid the block next week, either whether it's a comp win that goes his way, aka someone that wasn't going to target him wins it, or someone who does win and he does something, I could see him reassimilating. I really can. I will say he is a very passive player. He doesn't play all that much, but he is chill enough in a house that can be very up, down, up, down, up, down. I could see him reassimilating. So ultimately, could it be bad? We could be sitting here next week being like, yep, all right, there you go. Gino's on the block. Vito's been not used. He's going home. Dunzo. Or we could be like, oh, look, Gino did a little something. Maybe, you know, someone else won. He was able to get into a new four. It could happen. It's not like, see, that's my thing, right? Is that I don't think it's like all time worst move, like bottom, no, the top three, awful, awful, awful. But I think given the cast that he's been put in with, the season's trajectory so far, and the type of player he is, I think he could survive it. We'll just have to wait and see if he survives next week. I think that's going to be the big test, is who wins. If Betty wins next week, I mean, actually, you know what? Betty has been talking about Marty quite a bit today. So maybe Marty's the target. But if Marty wins another veto, oof, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Like Betty or Tanisha, the two people he was thinking about putting on the block, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if either of them win, he's probably touching the block. Him and Marty, or him and Jace, or Marty and Jace. Like, they want all three of them gone at this point. And if Kyle was there, there'd be four of them that they'd have to get out instead of three. But I hear your point, completely, Puya. And I've been saying this as well, that, like, I don't think this is a game losing decision. I mean, it could be, but I don't think it's a guaranteed game losing decision from Gino, in the same way that, like, Kyle's last week was basically a game losing week of gameplay. But I do think that, like, it is the kind of move. Sometimes people will make a move and I'm like, I don't know if I agree with this. I feel like there was a better way to do this, or this was a missed opportunity, or like, I feel like this might be wrong. But this is the kind of move where I would personally go, like, I definitely think this is the wrong decision. I think he made the wrong decision. It might work out, but I think this was the wrong decision. That's what I would put down on paper. So I did ask the audience, should Gino have targeted Kyle? And We got a response here on the survey. 82% say no, he should not have targeted Kyle. 17%, this is a little bit like point something. 17% say yes, he should have targeted Kyle. So pretty big majority think this was the wrong decision. But there's not an insignificant amount of people that, that are like, oh yeah, we should have. This was the right call.
Darren, are we hearing a Kellis? Yes. Okay.
We are hearing a little
Kellis. Look, Kellis.
He's so cute. Oh, he's sliding down. He's like, no, not for me.
He likes to be put on the desk. He doesn't like to jump up himself. He likes to come. He wants me to pick him up. And then he wants to step up on the desk himself. And then he comes into my life.
Does he
on
avoid the keyboard? Does he touch any of the keyboards?
Well, I can move the keyboard. It's a portable.
Look at his little tail.
You're sorted. Yeah.
This is like flip.
This is an advertisement for the Twitch stream. This is what you get on Twitch all the time if you follow me on Twitch. Oh my god. Twitch.
Cat butt.
Let's see here. Kyle is on the block. He has been campaigning, but this is not going to go anywhere. His campaigning has led to Marty getting in a little bit more hot water, just because of the info he's been dumping on Marty. That's part of why Betty and Tanisha are now talking about Marty as a target. So, it's looking like this might just end up back in the same place that it started, where it's like people are targeting Marty and Gino and Jace, and they're kind of trying to move against the house. Although Marty does still have some allies in Josh and Kevin, and that's where things get a little interesting. Helena as well in there in the mix a little bit, and then Jess kind of floating around to both sides still. So the house is definitely still in flux, as we were talking about, but Kyle should be the pretty easy consensus boot this week. I asked the audience, who do you want to be evicted this week? Surprisingly, only 73% said Kyle. A good 26% said Jess.
I do not want Kyle to go at all. I think that it's so boring to just kick Kyle out right now. I mean, like, he could have like gone on a tear and been like so fun to watch and just like chaotic. And like, why are we trying to get rid of that? I don't like why? Like, because I don't get why.
The only way you get that, Melissa, if he wins every other HOH, because if anyone else wins it next week, we're in the same spot we are now, where he gets put up. He's like sulking, like he's the narcos. He's like out here standing alone, looking into the distance. His campaigning is rough. But
I think if he gets a little bit of power, like I think if he can just like, if he can get into that mood where it's like, it's me against the world, like I think he actually could do something. And if he like wins a veto or something and stays another week, I don't see a situation where he just like moping around like, woe is me. Like, I think right now he feels like the momentum is so far against him that he just had like, you know, he doesn't feel as like inspired or whatever to fight for it. But I also feel like I could see a situation where he could find a little bit of footing. Like, I was kind of hoping for the idea that, you know, Kyle and Jace and Gino like actually join together and are like, let's do something. And then Gino wins HOH and it's like, okay, maybe they can actually accomplish something. I just feel like it's so boring to have him go out this way, like, especially at the hands of an ally. Like, where's the drama? Where's the fun? I just think that it sucks to have him go so early. I would have loved to see him stay longer. I mean, this is what happened when Frenchie got taken out. It was like, yeah, we're getting Frenchie out. Oh, great. Oh, okay. Now Frenchie's gone and that whole storyline's dead. Okay, cool.
They both delivered exactly what they could with their 1 week reign. And then they leave and the game continues and progresses. I think the season's still going to shape up to be a really good one. I think it's going to be very exciting. I think it was because like you had the house go to a very high and then to become now the reset. And what happens post the reset? It's like the Thanos snap. Who knows? We'll find out. But I'm very keen to see what happens here. I feel like there's a lot of game left to be played. There's a lot of moving pieces. Everyone in some way, shape or form for the most part is playing. So I'm actually very excited. I think he needs to check out. I think he, given how I've been seeing him this week, I feel like he has realized how much he blundered. And I don't think there's a redemption path for him at this point. I think get out, take a break from Big Brother, because Big Brother's not been kind to Kyle. So,
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's only so much that Kyle has in him. And like part of the reason why his HOH was so chaotic last week is because he started from a position of power and like he blew, like if this was like if he was a wizard, he had tons of magic and he was able to cast like true big spells, but then he used all of his magic. He used all of his magic bar is gone. He's got no more magic left. So now he's just in the house like casting spells, but nothing's coming out. And it's just like, if he has no social capital in the game, then he's just kind of useless, right? There's nothing happening here anymore. Now, if you want another HOH, he definitely could cause a little more chaos just because by nature of having that amount of power, but it would need to be an HOH because if like it gets to a point where you're in the house, if nobody listens to you, nobody cares about the information you bring them. Nobody wants to work with you. Nobody likes you. What are you there for? You're there to help the one person that you're there to help. Like that's pretty much it. Like, you don't really do much else. So I feel like this is, you know, this is as good a time as any, you know, that, because the thing is he didn't even have any influence over his own friend's HOH, to the point where he's now being sent out on his own friend's HOH. So like he clearly has nothing left here in the tank unless he's winning those competitions. So, you know, I think we got the most out of him. Maybe we could have squeezed out more, but
I don't want necessarily for him to like go on a tear and win. Like that's not my intention is that I want him to win because like, you know, I don't need that, but just like the idea that he's going out so early. And also, you know, I'm not saying the season's going to be boring if he leaves, obviously there's a lot more there. But I do feel like there could have been a little more storyline with this one. I don't necessarily love the idea of him just like immediately getting taken out by a friend and being like, ah, okay, well, that's that. It just seems a little like lackluster. So I don't know. I understand why people want to take him out and why people are like, you know, we've seen enough. But I do feel like there was a little more left, but not like a little more left, like a good player, but a little more left, like more drama, more exciting. I mean, I'd prefer to have someone Kyle stay in the house than someone like JC Lynn, who's not doing anything. Like I'd much prefer to have her leave and like have other people like that leave. And then have people who are at least trying stay in the game and or at least exciting, you know, stay in the game a bit longer.
All right. Well, I did ask who is the better person for Gina to have targeted this week for his game? Who is the best? And this question is a little bit skewed because I screwed it up in the beginning. I did not update the options properly from last week. So Kyle was not an option for the first like, you know, like I would say roughly like 10% of responses. But still pretty overwhelmingly. The audience said Hermont was the best target for Gino this week. And I don't know if I agree with that. I do think Hermont is dangerous in the game, but the thing is, he's not exactly dangerous to Gino. I mean, right. A lot of people are looking at Hermont. It's like typically what you want to do as an HOH, in my opinion, is like you want to do something that benefits you. And usually that's not what other people want you to do. And so like, there's this idea of like, well, if I do what other people want me to do, that's what I want to do because that will make me good with those other people. But I feel like usually the way to go, and you know, you can't go to extremes like Kyle, but usually the way to go is I'm going to do something that benefits me that pisses off as few people as possible. But the important part is it's got to benefit me. And it shouldn't make other people too happy. It should just make other people go, okay, that makes sense. And that's why Vanessa always had reasons, right? I'm targeting Jeff. Nobody likes that I'm targeting Jeff, but I came up with an elaborate reason for why I need to do it. And everyone was like, I don't like this, but oh, whatever, you know, she's doing what she's got to do. I don't think it should have been Hermon. I do think that Tanisha wasn't the worst shot. It wasn't for like the best reasons. It was, he's vastly overestimating Tanisha, but I don't think it would have been the worst shot in the world. He would have had to do it and make sure that he kept Summer on board. I don't think he could have done that. So, so that's probably like the biggest block to Tanisha. Betty still is a great option. Betty was a great option for Kyle, a great option for Gino. Guess who Betty's coming after? Marty and Gino. Why not? And Betty almost won that HOH. Like, she's not
a tiebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. She can win comps. She's not useless like these people are talking about. So I think the Betty might have been the best target for Gino here. So I do think he had plenty of options and Betty would have been great. And even Jess, I think that Jess wasn't a bad target for Gino either. And Jess was in second place with 15%.
Yeah, I was going to say, despite you forgetting to put Kyle in, given that 80 some percent were like, you shouldn't have been on the block, I don't think that would have changed anything. But I do think there would have been other options for him. Obviously, if this whole last week wasn't in shambles, I feel like him going after someone in the middle wouldn't have been a bad shout for him either. Again, use this week to kind of rebuild some stuff, patch some things up. But I do think the biggest thing with Tanisha would have been, can he keep Summer? Because I think Summer vibing with him and Summer being on the Gino bandwagon, as she put it, I think is a huge asset for him. Whether or not he sees it is a huge asset for him, having Summer in his corner. And I feel like if losing Summer in any capacity is something he shouldn't want, or I mean, he wouldn't know necessarily, but I do think that would be very important for him to keep.
Yeah, but I do think it's important that he weaken Summer, right? Like, and that's why taking Betty out, I think, is a great option for him, if possible, because it would be a way where, like, Summer didn't name Betty as somebody that she really wanted to protect, but mm-hmm. Betty is a number, a pretty solid number for Summer. And so if he's able to get Betty out and not piss Summer off in the process, then he weakens Summer's power base, making her more reliant on him. He gets out an easy target, somebody that was coming for him, and he just tells the house, I'm sorry, I hate Kyle too at this point. I can't get this guy off my back, but I can't be the one to send him out. That would be way too sad. You guys do it. But here's what I want from you. If I don't put you up on the block, don't put me up next to Kyle. Don't do that to me. Like, I want nothing to do with him. I'm going to be in with you. Get those deals from people. Make them feel like they can work with him outside of the Kyle thing, and that he's outside of the Kyle thing. Kyle probably goes next week, and hopefully you've made enough inroads that you're not the backup target. And I think that's absolutely possible. And if Kyle somehow wins next week, then it's a whole new ball game and you've got tons more options. I think that was probably the way to go here for Gino, but, it's not the way that Gino wanted to go. So I asked the audience also, who do you want to win HOH next week? And in first place with 17%, Kevin.
17%?
Yeah.
I'm a bad boy.
17% said Kevin.
That's my favorite sound bite. I know.
Thank you, Melissa.
But I love it. That's my favorite one. I'm a bad boy. That's good.
Not mine. Yeah, see? It's not my favorite.
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
That's my favorite one. It's great.
Ah, Melissa, you and me. We know what's right. We know what's up. Good. Second place with the audience, who they want to win HOH next week, with 16%.
This is Business B. Let's get it.
Business B.
People just want chaos, I think.
Yes, absolutely. third place. They unfortunately do not have a locked in soundboard clip for them. They have a couple, but nothing too great so far, but third place is Jess with 14%. People would like to see Jess win that one.
Who would Kevin be putting up hypothetically here?
Let's see. He would probably do something. He would probably want to be targeting Herman. He would probably, I don't know how exactly he would do it. He might be ballsy enough to go to like Jess as a pawn and be like, look, I need to use you as a pawn. It'll help people think we're not close. He might go to like, I don't know what he does with Betty, right? Like, does he go to Betty and say, look,
oh my God.
Oh God. We need to keep this up.
That spiel, I would love. It would be messy. That would be great. But as someone who doesn't want Herman to go anywhere, I can't vouch for this. Give me Business B for the HOH.
Business B She puts up Gino and Marty at like, I would be like, if Gino immediately paid the bill for Kyle's eviction, I feel like that would be pretty poetic. Especially okay after he doesn't take out Betty. Yeah. Like Kyle wins HOH. He needs to take out, like, Betty is such an obvious target for Kyle. He doesn't do it. He screws it up. He ruins his own game. Gino wins HOH. Obviously target Betty. He doesn't. He targets his ally Kyle instead. Then Betty wins and finishes them both off. I feel like that's a pretty good little contained storyline.
I like it. I could get behind that. I'm in.
Then it is a big spread here. In fourth place was
where's Moose?
It's Moose. He's in fourth place with 10%. Then Summer with 10%, and then Helena and Herman with 8% each, and then we kind of have a drop off. That's what people are looking forward to. I asked the audience to rate the episodes this week. And last week people were not too high on the episodes. Last week they gave the episodes a 6.4. Now that was, they hadn't seen the Wednesday and Thursday episodes yet, which I thought were two of the best of the season so far. This week a 7.1. So the episode ratings have gone up. And I think that's very fair. I think Wednesday and Thursday were great. I thought Monday was good. I think that they're editing the episodes better than they have in the past, and mm-hmm. Monday included. Like, it wasn't a fake narrative, and it was mostly game related stuff, and it was good. And I enjoyed it. I do still think that they are focusing a little too heavily on the nomination process. Overall, that it's like, okay, who's Gino gonna nominate? Let's spend, you know, 40 minutes on that. And it's like, you could have focused a little bit elsewhere, but I thought overall it was still pretty good. And so I did enjoy the episodes a lot this week.
They were very strong. I think Monday had a great start too. The JC Lynn, yes, and Kyle pointing fingers at each other, that was, yes, phenomenal. That was a very good 10 minutes to start the episode.
You really suck at lying.
That was so frustrating to me. I was just like watching.
Both your picks staring at each other.
Yell at the screen. I just wanted to be like, what are you talking about? Like, why would you think this was Kyle's doing? Like, it does not make any sense. I just, the whole thing was just so stupid.
It's funny and, like, too, because I feel like when we went back and we watched those Among Us clips, like, I was in the Kyle spot to Kyle in an Among Us game where I was telling the truth and he was like, oh, Taryn. And he voted against me, like, oh, you're lying to me. And I was like, what are you doing, Kyle? And now I know what he's doing.
Puya's missed.
is that much it's to brag about? There, Puya? Yeah.
Puya's missed is still there. Kyle comes out and he's like, I think Puya had something to do with this somehow.
Puya,
Puya did this to me. Melissa, you picked him first in the draft. And then you said JC Lynn was my second on the board. You picked JC Lynn. It's been rough.
Puya, Puya coming hard for Melissa.
I was watching that scene yesterday. All I could think of was like, yo, these are Melissa's two picks just looking at each other and having a rough time of this game. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on right now?
No, I have no idea.
Do you know where you are right now?
No.
I was beyond wrong this year. I admit it. I thought that they would be good. I really thought I saw potential in JC Lynn.
Helena.
Okay. That's not terrible.
We'll see about that one. Huh. I don't know. I this was bad for me. I just, like, I don't know. I saw something in both of them and I was dead wrong.
I mean, so, you saw something.
I did see true. I didn't say I saw a winner. I said I saw something. So, you know, that's fine. I stand by that something.
I asked the audience to rate the feeds this week, and they rated the feeds a 6.9. Last week it was an 8.3, so a decent drop there for the feeds, which I think is mostly fair. I mean, obviously we didn't have all of the hectic Kyle stuff, and I think that I think that especially like with today coming straight out of yesterday with a bunch of phone calls and the sort of the feeds really starting to slow down a little bit. People are like, okay, the feeds were okay this week. But I think they've still been pretty good. I mean, 6.9 is also still a pretty good rating.
Yeah.
Usually this is like a 4, you know,
we'll take it.
How would you rate the season as a whole so far? This one is still moving up. a 7.6, up from the 7.2 last week. So, you know, even though they felt like the feeds had gone down a little bit this week, overall, the season is still delivering and we're still liking what we're getting here. 7.6 for the season as a whole is very good, but it's still early days.
Always to go. But yeah, it's been very promising. This couple, at least almost a month now out the gate, it's been very good.
Yes. And then the competitions were given a 6.9 by the audience, up from the 6.5 last week. Still, people still really enjoying the competitions this season, nice. Which has been very good. Yes, very nice. Very nice. All right. One more thing before we get into the ratings. Let's rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. And I would love to hear some guesses from the two of you. Who's the top three for the favorite players, Booyah?
Summer is number one. I think that's we don't even need to debate that one.
Melissa agrees.
Okay. So with our audience here, Kevin had the highest rating for Wanting of HOH. I would put Kevin in the top three. I don't know if he's second or third. That I can't tell you. Third is interesting because part of me wants to say Herman. I don't know. I don't know where Melissa, do you have any idea who the other one will be?
I was going to say Herman. So I was going to say Summer, or Kevin, and Herman.
Okay, let's go with that. Let's see. Tell us if we're wrong or right.
You're both in agreement. Summer is the number one pick on the board. That is correct. Summer is number one. Number two is...
I'm a bad boy.
Our bad boy, Kevin.
There we go.
Bad
boy. Okay.
Number three, you both had incorrect. It was actually...
I've dealt with some definitely squirmy babies.
Josh!
I will take that. I love that. Okay. I didn't know what the audience's thoughts were on Josh. I'm happy to hear that, actually.
Yeah, Josh, number three.
I'm surprised by that.
All right. Who's the bottom three?
Kyle, JC Lynn. Helena? No.
Maybe Marty again, because he was before. Oh, and so maybe like
Marty.
He's just not.
I forgot about Marty. Yeah, pull Marty
it up.
Kyle, bottom of the list. JC second to last. Marty third to last.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. The list is summer
number one. I don't know
what
we like, but I know what we don't like.
Summer number one, Kevin number two, Josh number three, Helena number four, Herman number five, then Moose, Tanisha, Betty, Jess, Gino, Marty, Jace, and Kyle.
All right.
So that's the list there. Anything else from the week we need to talk about before we get into the ratings?
I think there was a lot of speculation this like last 24 or so hours about the telephones going off. I think it's safe to say at this point, this was basically a get out of have nodding situation.
Yeah, I'm seeing Hamster Watch tweeting right now that they're showing some food ready for them in the pantry right now.
There we go. Yeah, they want a dinner. Yeah. Okay. No powers. So, relax, everybody. We're good.
Yes. It's, I mean, I feel like I say this every season and it's mostly been the case where it's like, if you see them doing something on the feeds that they haven't told you about on the show, it's not probably not anything important. Yeah. Like when people were like finding like miscolored balls in the ball pit last season, like all this
Remember?
Stuff, it's like
how much we thought that was going to be something.
That's what I'm saying. It's every season. And then the season before that, it was like they were looking through all the boxes of papers and files and stuff. And that, yeah, eventually that became a twist, but it wasn't because of anything they looked at. It was like, you know, whoever got to do the thing, once they closed it off and the feeds were down. Yeah. So, you know. They wouldn't give us anything.
It's that BB Can 2 secret veto was just such an anomaly.
It still resonates. It still makes people feel like, oh, this is exciting. We should do, but they haven't done anything like it since.
Yeah. And like that was phenomenal. I love that very much. But I feel like, you know, those days, I don't know if they're going to be very few and far in between. Again, 9 years, we're waiting for the next one. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, let's get into the ratings this week. Last week we had a pretty big market crash overall. Let's see what kind of market we have this week going on with us here as we pull up these ratings. Okay, this is of course the portion of the podcast where we go through every player left in the game. And we give them a rating from 1 to 10. 1 being the worst. They are doing as poorly as can be. They have no chance to win. 10 being that they are doing as well as possible. They're doing extremely well in the game. They're very likely to win, or at least they're playing as best as can be in this particular week of the game. And I also polled the audience, and I asked what they thought of the players in the game. And I got some ratings from them as well. So here we go. Let's start with Betty. And last week I gave Betty a 4. She was not on the block. And I wasn't sure where she stood. You know, Betty, I think I was penalizing Betty with the 4 a little bit, primarily because, I believe had recently gotten into the thing with Kevin. And it was like, are you really doing this again, Betty? But you don't need to be causing any like unnecessary strife here. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am incredibly entertained by it. But game wise, there's no reason for this. This week though, I'm feeling a little bit higher on Betty. Not a lot of people feel like they want to target her. I also love the fact that she came very close to winning this competition. Showing that she is capable of winning some competitions. I think if she does win one, you know, maybe she pulls a Kyle and, you know, completely blows up her game, but, it will give her an opportunity to really, get in there and, you know, business it up. So, I'm a little bit higher on Betty than I was before. I'm looking at Betty in a positive light here, and I'm going to move up to a 5 for Betty overall. I feel like she's got some prospects now. There are lots of big targets that aren't her. And you know, I think she still has a long way to go before she's like a front runner in this game or anything close to it. But I do think she's in a nice little spot here for now. So I'm going to give her the 5. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say the same thing. I feel like I've been a little iffy on Betty because I feel like her name always keeps getting brought up anytime people are thinking of nominations, but yet she's keep skating by week after week. So I do feel like she's finding more solid footing, and I like the idea that she's not necessarily fighting with Kevin as much anymore. So yeah, I feel like right now she's a solid 5 for me.
There you go. Booyah.
All right. So I prefaced this last time I was on the round table, which was BBCan 9. I'll preface it again here. With BB23. For me, some people might get the same numbers as other people, but they're going to be for different reasons. So if like two people get 5s, they're different 5s for me. I had this recent thought about it, Taryn, and I do think that early weeks, my rating typically will skew how good did you do that week and how good are you set up for the following week. The later to the game we get, it starts shifting from week to week to win equity. Where's your win equity at and what are you feeling? I think Betty has not only not been on the block this week again, but I'm also, she's starting for me to seem like she's further away from being in that position. Obviously, you wait long enough, there are going to be other targets that pull up. You're no longer looking to just throw someone on there potentially. I think Betty for me this week ended up being in a position where I could see more longevity for her, whereas at one point I really couldn't see that longevity. The person that most vocally has been putting down Betty's game or abilities has been Kyle. Kyle's leaving. That is huge for Betty. I think Betty has time to shine, has an opportunity to prove herself, win one comp, change your whole perception. That's where she's going to be. For me as well, going from where she was last week with a 4, I think she's done good enough to receive a +1. So I also went with a 5.
There you go. The audience has not gone up with us on Betty. They went up a little bit. They were a 3 last week, but this week they are only up to a 4 for Business B. What do you do? Like, come on. Get with the program. Betty's
get with the 5 program.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Gino. Gino, who last week got a 5 and was oh so close to a 6 and not devastating my stocks. But did get a 5 and did devastate my stocks. Let's see what he gets this week. Melissa, what do you think?
This is a tough one because I feel like it really is going to, like, we're going to know what the rating should be next week. But it's hard to say what the rating is now. It's so tricky because it really could go either way, depending on how the house reacts next week and how he handles himself next week and who wins HOH, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think this is the right move for him, knowing how Big Brother houses typically play out after you get rid of your ally for the house. But, you know, this could be a totally different scenario where they really are, you know, wanting to accept him into the fold afterwards and he's going to become part of the power structure and all that. I don't know. I'm right now debating whether I want to stick him at a 5 because it could go either way. And for me, it's like, that's like the middle, like we don't know. But at the same time, I think he is making the wrong move. Just generally, I think like this has been played wrong. So I don't want to go down too much, but the thought that he is getting rid of a shield for him, getting rid of a potential ally, getting, you know, doing the house's dirty work, et cetera, definitely weighs down his score for me. And so for me, because this could go either way, I feel like I don't want to rate him too low, even though on a normal situation, I probably would. But I'm going to give him a 4.
A 4 for Gino. Huya, what do you think?
Right. So Gino gets a 5 last week. And for me, if Gino had maintained the 6, it was very obvious. All right, you have to go down. Like, there is no way you've played this in a good position for yourself. Now, I've been the one out of the 3 of us that has probably been a little bit more bullish on this move, not like in love with the move, but like it could be better. It could be worse, sorry. However, I think given that Gino could still end up on the block potentially, Gino has to survive next week. I'm also going with a 4, and I will preface it with this. Gino's a risky buy this week, folks. But if Gino survives and is able to reassimilate, you could be looking at some little baby profits. That could be possible for you. But he definitely goes down 1 from where he was last week for me.
All right. Well, the audience agrees with the 2 of you. The audience also gave Gino a 4, but I don't agree with you. I am much, much more, bearish? Bearish on the move?
Bullish? Bearish?
Wouldn't bullish be positive?
I don't know.
Oh, and stocks speak.
Yeah.
Well, whatever that stock speak is.
The bear is coming for Gino because I'm giving him a 2. I'm going out on a limb here. Whoa. I hate this move. I don't like the move. I think it's a bad move. I think you target your ally on an HOH. I don't care what your ally has done. I think that you deserve a 2 on your HOA train. It's no good. I think that that Gino is in a worse position than he would be if he had not won this HOH, if he had not targeted Kyle with this HOH. And I think that the fact that he is doing this points to poor decision making on his part overall. That's the limb. That's the limb I'm going out on. So there we go. A 2. For Gino, from me to Gino. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, well, it doesn't impact the ratings. That would have been wild if that had caused it to go down 1 more.
Kyle pooped on everyone,
including Gino. So let's talk about Helena. Let's talk about Helena. Puya, how do you feel? Because Helena, Helena is, that's the Puya Helena ship name.
Yeah.
Helena's in an interesting spot in the game. And I feel like a lot of people have very, like, extreme ends of the spectrum opinions on Helena at this point in the fan base. So Puya, what do you think?
That is very accurate, honestly, when it comes to Helena. I feel like she's been very polarizing. I like the spot Helena's playing from. I feel like she's in the middle. She gets information here. She gets information there. I love both those things. However, this past week, there's been parts of Helena's game that I feel like you're self-sabotaging your own position. There is a lot of work being done over nothing in moments for me. So I definitely struggled with Helena's rating because, again, I think she has capability. I could see her going far. And the house is fluid enough that I could see her landing somewhere comfortable, no problems at all. But comparing to last week, I honestly had to go down one. I'm giving her a 5 this week. And it all comes down to this for me. I feel like this can catch up to her. This gameplay can catch up to her. And I don't know if she gets caught up with it, if she's going to be able to untangle herself out of it. But it's a 5 for now. It was very close to just remaining a 6 for me. But I'm going down 1 for the moment.
Because
she does a lot.
Yes. Well, the audience does agree with you. The audience also gave Helena a 5 overall. And I think I have to agree as well. I gave Helena a 6 last week, but since then I saw some things I didn't love, in the episodes. I saw her on in the diary room kind of being like, this whole Kyle thing has been so bad for me. Which, you know, her position isn't significantly worse than it was last week, but my faith in her as a player has been shaken a little bit.
That, yes.
The fact that she, like, cause they're like, And it's a stark difference because last week I gave Kevin a 5 and I gave Helena a 6 because I felt like Helena had been doing better and was better positioned and had fewer, you know, spats with random people like Betty. But what we saw Kevin do was in a time of chaos, step up to the plate and really start furthering his game and developing his game. Whereas Helena has been like, oh, no. Take it back. I want to get back to where I was, which tells me that she's probably going to struggle when she gets to the point where she has to evolve her game, because this game is a very difficult one to win with if you're not able to evolve it into something else in the future. Like even Paris, who a lot of people would point to as somebody who was like playing the middle, playing this kind of like under the radar game for a long time and then came out at the end winning comps. Paris, people forget, was still a leader of an alliance. She controlled a few votes and she like pointed them in directions and was a very active player, and it was being called a pillar of strategy early on in the season because she was so forceful in the game. I'm just not seeing enough from Helena to know that that she's going to be able to step up to the plate when she needs to. So for me, it's going down. She's still in an okay spot. Nobody should really be targeting her at this time. She'll have plenty of space to move. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if she will. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, I honestly, I'm totally on the same page as you guys. I give her a 5. I just feel like I haven't really seen her like grasp onto anything solid yet. And I get that, like, you know, the house is fluid or whatever, and she's moving around and blah, blah, blah. But like, I feel like at some point you need to kind of have something that you can latch onto. And I haven't really seen that from her. And so I'm just a little worried. I don't know where she goes from here. I feel like not that we're that far into the season, but like we are kind of getting to a point where you kind of need to decide what your gameplay is. And I don't really know where she's going. So yeah, so 5 isn't terrible, but it is kind of just like, where does she go? Does she go up? Does she go down? I don't know. It's right in the middle.
All right. Well, let's talk about Hermann. The audience last week gave Hermann a 6, and they're sticking with their 6 this week. The audience gave Hermann a 6. For me, though, it's a tough one. You know, last week I gave Hermann a 6. His position had deteriorated from where it was before. Kyle had done a lot of damage to it. And I cannot say that he has been able to recover yet. In fact, in some ways, things have only gotten worse. And on top of that, I feel as though Kyle leaving this week could be a net negative for him. Now, Kyle was potentially going to be looking at Hermann as a target. So it's good that he's leaving in that sense. But if Kyle didn't win, which he wasn't super likely to, then that was a free, like a pretty free buffer week for Hermann. With Kyle leaving, a lot of the people that were going to be looking at Kyle are now going to be like, okay, now is definitely the time to take the shot at Hermann then. And that's risky. That's not the best place to be. And so Kyle leaving is kind of a win for him. And now he also doesn't have to waste a week on Kyle. So that's a good thing. But a week of Hermann targeting Kyle could have been a very good thing for Hermann. That would be exactly what Hermann needs to have a nice, the week that Kyle should have had, a nice, easy Derek week, where he takes out the house target and he rebuilds a nice, comfy structure again, and there's no Kyle to ruin it this time. That would have been really good for Hermann. So I do think that there are some negatives to Kyle leaving for Hermann. Now, Hermann could still win, and without the presence of Kyle, could still set up some new structure for himself. And maybe without Kyle, now he has the opportunity to target somebody like Helena, who's really been dragging his name through the mud. But he doesn't really know that he needs to target Helena at the moment. So anyway, all this to say, Hermann is kind of in a precarious position. I think he's a very capable player. And I really want to give him credit for surviving the week, because I really do think that his great talks with Gino early on after the vote saved him this week. And I think that's worthy of a little bit of a rating bump. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm looking at his short-term prospects and it's just like, oof, you're in danger, bro. Somebody send you help.
Send help, somebody.
Because it's not looking great. So I'm very tempted to go down to a 5 for Hermann because of the danger he's in. But I think that because he saved himself this week and my faith in him overall as a player, it's not as high as it used to be, because I think by now he should have recovered better than he has. But I do think that it's worth a 6. So I think I'm going to stick with the 6 overall. Melissa, what do you think?
Well, this is going to be embarrassing because, like, I feel like all of our ratings are like the same for each person, but like, it's like very boring. But I was going to give him a 6 as well still, because I love Hermann. I think he's so fun and funny, and I think that he's so entertaining, and I think that he's really smart and really good. And I do really have faith in him as a player at this point in time. I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but I feel like he's impressed me a lot every single week. Even this week, when it could have been really precarious for him to have Gino win, especially after he just like betrayed them. And for him to be able to talk with Gino and kind of get himself out of that and kind of separate himself from the problem, Kyle, you know, I feel like that was very impressive to me. And I just feel like even if he, you know, even though he is losing Kyle as like a buffer, I think that I could see a situation where he is in danger and he's able to get his way out of that danger. So like at this point, I do feel still strongly about his game. I think that I don't know if he's in a better position though than he was last week. So that's why I'm kind of just sticking with my 6. But even though he's losing that like Kyle buffer, I think that he's still okay. So I'm giving him that 6.
All right. Booyah.
Hermann did a masterful job. Hermann, first of all, is the person I was most wrong about preseason, Taryn. Like, mm-hmm. straight up, did not expect anything from Hermann, really.
I said I liked him, so, you know, I'm going to keep that.
On the right side of history for that one. Now, when Rob took him,
everything else.
Rob, stop it. What are you doing? Very wrong on him. He's done a very good job of playing socially. Like, watching him communicate with people, he is easily, for me, the chillest person. I definitely enjoy watching him on feeds. He's a very entertaining person. He did good stuff with Gino at the start of the week. So for me, he was looking very good. Like, I was ready to maybe go 7 until the rest of the week goes along. You start seeing more people bring up his name. His name is a lot more out there than, you know, literally almost anybody else. Sometimes it's terrifying, but also he has proven that he's capable of avoiding that and getting himself off of people's radars. So I do trust, like, you know, we talked about not necessarily trusting in Helena to be able to navigate. I trust that Herman can navigate out of a sticky situation. So for all of that being said, I'm going to keep the same energy as the you two and the audience. I'm going to also keep it at a six.
There you go. Let's talk about Jace. Jace this week. Something I forgot to bring up with the Geno 2 is that I'm definitely including the fact that he thought Jace was a vote against him and Kyle in the eviction. And it is also something I'm going to hold against Jace, because that was just an embarrassing display of just awareness in the game. The fact that she is going to, like, because not only does she suspect it, because this is the thing, like, Geno also incorrectly thought that she had betrayed him. Yes. But Geno did not go around saying,
"You really suck at lying,"
to people that were not lying. You know, like, because Geno also didn't think, like, "Oh, Kyle masterminded this whole thing." Like, she went for Kyle. Mm-hmm. Everyone, this is how like deeply buried her head is in the sand, that she went for Kyle for a vote flip that happened because everyone hated Kyle so much. Mm-hmm. She had such a misread that she thought Kyle is so good at this and so beloved of the house that only he could be behind something like this. And when she found out he wasn't, she was like, "What are you even for then? Mm-hmm. Why am I even aligned with you? I thought you were supposed to just do all of this for me."
And also, like, what? She thought that Kyle masterminded this to just, like, make JC
look dumb?
And like, JC and Geno look dumb. Like, I don't get what the benefit would have been there. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, the logic isn't there. And like, the clearly the reads of the house are not there. So like, what's there? Nothing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I really don't like what she's doing. On top of all of that, of course, she's giving the thumbs up to the Kyle move, which she gets zero credit for. And mm-hmm. only makes her position, in my opinion, worse. Because again, now, like, anybody that would have gone after Kyle, is, you know, now she's just like one, you know, one more person who is potentially in the line of fire. She's still making like very few allies, having very few game talks, saying yes to every bad decision that her allies make as they take out their own numbers. Like, her only thing, the thing she was all in on, was the retreat, and she has now lost Steph and Kyle back to back. Herman is no longer like on board, and she just has Geno. She like barely even has Marty anymore. And so I just really, I've lost all faith in Jace as a player. I also think that her, you know, her position is not good. I'm also giving Jace a two.
Are you? Do you know what's going on right now?
No, yes. I have no idea.
Do you know where you are right now?
No.
Yes.
Do yes, you? You're getting it too.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, same for me as well. I'm just like I'm so frustrated. It just feels like she doesn't know what's going on, and she doesn't care to find out. I just feel like, what does she think she's doing? Like, now that it was going to be, you know, now she realizes, like, or at least she should realize, you know, it's her, Kyle, and Geno, and that's it. And everybody else is opposite them. And then it's like, instead of using that information and being like, okay, now we need to see how we move forward from here, she's kind of just like, oh, okay, so like, let's get Kyle out, and then we'll figure it out. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't solve anything. That doesn't solve your problem. So then what? Like, then what's your next move? And I feel like both her and Geno are not thinking about that. And at the very least, at least Geno has people being like, yeah, we'll work with you or whatever. Like, yeah, I want to work with you. I just don't want to work with Kyle. But with Jace, I'm not seeing that from anybody. Like, I'm not seeing connections with her, with other people in the house. And like, I don't know where she goes from here. And I don't know if she knows where she goes from here. So yeah, it's definitely a two for me.
Oh yeah.
She yes ands everything. And not in a fun improv way. It's like, hey, would you like us to shoot ourselves in the foot twice and put up people? Yes. Would you like yes. Just blindly says yes. And I have zero trust that Jace will pivot to anything. Genuinely. I think there's a world you put up Jace and Geno next to each other that Jace doesn't survive that block, which is a lot considering you know, you look at Gino and probably assume, okay, he might be winning more. Whatever. I think she is pretty much at this point. I'm bold enough to say, I don't think I'm that bold. I don't think Jace has a chance of winning this game. So I was the one who said I'm looking week to week more so than win equity right now. But then also, is the best thing about it like, oh, you were safe this week when her, you know, showman's partner was HOH? Like, that is not a great situation. She has won a competition, so I don't think she's totally, you know, out as far as win capabilities of a comp or two. But I simply, after all the evidence this week, I just don't see Jace being cut out for Big Brother. So, but I also don't want to just agree, like have all of us have the same number again.
I know, that's the thing.
Yeah, but it's embarrassing. Hard I don't want to give her a three, and I also don't want to give her a one. I'm kind of saving that for a special someone. Yeah, let's just do two. We'll move on. Let's just do two.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Jace 2 weeks ago to now, it is a sharp decline in agency and power, and she consented to all of it. Yeah. She pushed for it. Mm-hmm. Like, terrible.
She had one alliance and she kind of like, you know, was willing to let it ride out in whichever way it went. Now, my big question is, for just a fun side exercise, Jace wins HOH next week. Who are the two people that Jace is going to be going after?
I mean, maybe, you know, she was kind of against taking a big shot, but maybe it is going to be like, T and Herman, something like that, like something that they're looking at. Cause again, like, you know, they're going to suggest it and she'll probably be just like, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Put up Gino. Okay. Yep,
sounds good.
Yep. Sounds about right. Okay, cool.
The audience is a little bit higher on Jace. The audience gave Jace a three. Three for right. Jace.
Thank you, audience.
We're not all the same there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't give it, because then it would have been a three. I don't think she keeps the same score for me. So that works.
Okay. There you go. Let's talk about Jess. Jess on the block, Jess. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, it's not great that she's on the block. I feel like that she keeps coming up as an option. Oh, sorry. Well, she said she's okay with both. They're okay with both, but
yes, they do prefer that. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Then I'll do that. You know, I just feel like the fact that they keep being talked about as an option to go on the block, or the fact that they just like keep ending up on the block, I feel like that is not a good sign. That's not good. So, you know, I feel like, even though they've made some inroads in some way, something else that I wanted to bring up, or that I want to consider, is that they put all this faith in Josh last week and saying that they wanted to protect Josh and they wanted to be there for Josh and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then Josh turns around and is like, yeah, I don't care about that. It's like, not great. It doesn't make me have very much faith in their game or the fact or the relationships they've built with people. I feel like they would be out the door had, you know, Kyle not been on the block with them. So that certainly makes me nervous for them moving forward. I think that would be just like an easy out for people. So, you know, I gave them a four last week. I think they can still turn it around. I don't have, you know, I don't think that this is that they're dead in the water or anything like that. But, you know, and I think that they have this reprieve because Kyle is next to them. So I'm going to stick with my four. But I think that like I would need to see something more moving forward. You know, that's it.
All right. Puya, what do you think?
Jess may have benefited the most from anybody in that house with Kyle being on that block. I think they are very lucky that there was a one-up in the form of a Kyle Moore there to be on the block next to them. Genuinely. I feel like Jess can move on from this and be fine. Jess has definitely proven to do this already from the pivot from week one to week two to week three. But I still feel like Jess isn't in a position where they are in a very, very good spot. They're still in the middle. There's not a lot of pieces for them to operate at the moment. And I think that there is still a chance that they might find themselves on the block once more. Now, I think, yeah, Jess, as of this week, is now the only person that has been put up twice, right? So once people get comfortable putting you on the block, you might find yourself there often enough. Mm-hmm. Now, I wasn't here last week to give a rating to then, you know, potentially shift it. Jess was a 5 last week. They're going to survive. They could pivot. They could still end up on the block again next week. If they win on HOH, I feel like that could help them quite a bit. But as of this moment, I also have them as a 4 right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The audience is with the both of you at a 4. And I think we are once again gonna wind up straight 4s across the board here. Insane. Because you know, last week I gave them a 5 and I said specifically, I'm concerned that they're not leveraging the position that they're in right now. The fact that they're voting to save Josh in real way. And then the second they touched the block this week, even Josh himself was like, yeah, I'm going to keep Marty, the guy, the reason I went up on the block in the first place, over Jess, the person who was staunchly in my corner all week long. That is a terrible indictment of Jess's social game overall, and to some degree their strategic game as well. And they ended up on the block this week. They did not win the veto this week. They got, you know, it wasn't exactly their doing that Kyle went up, but, you know, Kyle going up definitely helped save their rating this week to some degree, because I really don't think there's any chance they go home. If I did, they'd be down at a 3 at least. But it's a poor indication of where they might be able to go in the future, that they were not able to leverage an entire house flip and just complete destruction of groups. Like, they are just still not included in any of the groups that are being talked about. They still have some good individual relationships, but they are still kind of struggling to get any kind of real foothold in the game. And I think they will continue to be an easy person to put up if somebody needs an easy option. And that is not a good place to be. I don't think that they are out of it, though. I think they absolutely could still win this game. I think they just have a pretty tough path in front of them. So it's a 4 there for Jess. All right, let's move on to Josh. Puya, how do you feel about Josh?
Josh is very interesting for me. Josh, maybe the best thing to have happened to Josh's game was ending up on that block last week. Josh has pivoted phenomenally this week. I feel like Josh is in a position where, not, you know, who's coming after Josh at this point? Josh is looking pretty great in the house, has started to, you know, form some stuff, has some stuff, you know, individual stuff quite a bit. And it's a huge jump for Josh for me. And I'm very excited to see where Josh goes from here. I always felt like he was capable, but he just wasn't putting it out there. He has started putting it out there. And I feel like it's at the right time too. I'm again, very much loving what Josh is doing. 4 last week. Bump it up 2. Give me 6 for Josh. I'm loving where Josh is at. I think that for me, again, being safe, 1. Being safe for the foreseeable future for me, another 1. And really just 1 or 2 big things solidified. And I think Josh is someone a lot of people want to bring into their operation. So again, it can only go up from here for Josh, in my opinion. Something very drastic would have to happen for that to change.
Well, yeah. All right. There you go. 6 from Puya and a 6 from the audience as well for Josh. Josh has definitely had a massive upswing here. Josh is kind of, in some ways, one of the best positioned people in the game, period. Mm-hmm. Not a single person looking at Josh. Gino and Jace both want to work with Josh. Marty is tight with Josh now. Kevin is very tight with Josh. Jess loves Josh. Even Helena has talks with Josh. And of course, Summer, Betty, Tanisha all love Josh. If you didn't notice, that is pretty much everyone in the house.
Dr. Perfect. You
know, Moose isn't looking at Josh. Herman isn't looking at Josh. They're looking at other people. And for that reason, I think you have to be very high on Josh. Now, the one thing, the one demerit I would give here, and not necessarily even a demerit, but like point of like being conservative on the rating, is that I think socially he's been doing really well. He's been talking game with people, something that was my big criticism of him in the early portion of the game, is that he wasn't talking to people enough. He's talking to people now. I love how he handles conversations. I love how he keeps information to himself. And he makes everyone feel like they're heard and that he's with them. That's all great. I need to now see that he has the strategic agency to maneuver within this position in a way that benefits him. That like he's in a great spot right now, but the house will continue to move. And I need to make sure that he's going to be able to stay in this good spot and continue to maneuver without the house kind of like moving on without him. You know what I mean? Like the house moved into this spot and he's doing great. He's thriving in it. But at some point, the dynamic is going to shift. Kyle's going to leave. There's going to be a new dynamic moving forward. And I need to know that Josh is capable of thriving in that spot as well. But I'm feeling very, very good about Josh. And so I'm going to go ahead and give Josh a 7.
Okay.
I love his spot. I feel very good. I feel like he's learning the game on his feet. And I feel like he's doing very well acclimating to his new position, making people feel comfortable. And I feel like he's in a good spot to succeed right now. So it's a 7 from me. Melissa, what do you think?
I feel like I'm a little bit of an outlier here. I think that, I think generally socially, Josh is doing well. I think just people like him. I don't know if it's necessarily like things that he is doing, but I do think that he's very likable and people tend to gravitate towards him. And that means they want to work with him. But I think, Taryn, you touched on this, that I don't really know if I see the strategy there. I don't really know if I feel like I see him using that social connection with people and turning it into game. I think what stands out to me the most is the Jess situation. I feel like she was so on board with him, was so like, I want to work with you. And he didn't use that. And not only that, he was like, yeah, okay, well, they can go. And I feel like for me, that it just doesn't really make sense to me. I think that should have been like, immediately in his head, like, okay, this person wants me to stay. They are on my side. I need to make sure I keep them around and work with them. And they don't want me to go, and they'll do what it takes to protect me. So like, this is something that I should be, utilizing and capitalizing on. And I think that, definitely trying to build on the Marty situation. I don't know. I feel like I don't know if I see the strategy part there. And I hope that I do. And I hope that he does that. But for now, I feel like I'm sticking, or I guess I'm going up on his rating, but he's staying at a 5 for me for now.
All right. There you go.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You got something to share with the class, Booyah?
I was thinking of changing my rating, but I don't think so.
All right. Well, there we go.
Maybe I do get, because I was close on a 7 for Josh. I'm not going to lie to you. I was very close to a 7 for Josh. But then I was like, if you're going up from 4, I'll give you a 6. We'll see where you go from there. Because I do think he could go up to a 7 easily as next week.
Well, there you go.
Seems like someone might have bought some Josh stock and they're trying to get that.
You are wrong. I did not buy Josh, unfortunately. I thought about it, but I didn't. Sadly. Very sad.
All right. Well, let's move on to Kevin. Let's talk about Kevin. The audience is feeling actually about the same on Kevin. I think probably a higher average overall, but it's still going to be the same number. Let's look. Well, last week, Kevin was at a 5.6, which gave him a 6 overall. This week, he's at a 6.3. So it is a big bump from the audience for Kevin, but it is going to land at the same number, which is a 6 overall. I am going to say for myself, I personally feel like the audience should have gone that extra 0.14 and given him that 7, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give Kevin a 7 as well. It even rhymes, It's I'm a bad boy.
I'm just going to repeat it every time you say it.
He's just slithering through.
I'm actually just going to slither through.
And I thought he was very impressive over the last week, especially if you include the tail end of last week after the roundtable. He convinces Marty to flip his vote, which was massive. And it gave him a big, it did exactly what I was saying it was going to do to benefit him, where it put a lot of blame on Marty and not on Kevin. And Kevin slithered right through that whole situation. He got to act like a lawyer to Gino and make the guy laugh. And Gino wasn't upset with Kevin at all. That was great. He's also kind of won over Betty to some degree. Betty's not looking at Kevin anymore. He's won over Summer. He's won over Josh. He's even getting Tanisha on board. He is now positioned very well. And I do have a lot of faith in his strategic ability. He has shown himself to be very capable strategically. I don't think he has the very natural, like easy sort of way that Josh has when it comes to handling people. Like Josh is just very naturally gifted when it comes to his social ability and the way that he talks to people. Kevin has to be a little bit more calculated. He has to work a little harder to make people laugh and make them feel like he's not trying to sneakily get them. And we talked about this preseason, that this was always going to be a part of it. Just Kevin's look with the glasses and everything. People expect him to be a certain kind of player, and he kind of is that player. So it takes a lot of work to convince people that he's not, but he's been doing it and it's been very effective. And I'm very impressed with Kevin this week. And so so overall, I'm going to give him a 7. He's not like in a locked in, like super, super solid, amazing position quite yet. But I do think that he's been very effective. And I love the fact that he was able to take advantage of the situation that presented itself. That speaks volumes to his ability as a player. I'm hopeful that we see a lot more from him in the future and that this is not going to be the high point of Kevin's game. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm very impressed with Kevin. And I'm also loving him. I just feel like I do have faith in his strategy. Like I do see the strategy there. I do have faith in his ability to play. I mean, the Marty thing was just so impressive. And that wasn't even a situation where he was in trouble or anything. And I just feel like the fact that he was able to do that and to play that off so well, I was just so impressed by it. And, you know, I can only imagine what he'll do, you know, when he actually is in danger or, you know, is, you know, in power or whatever. So, yeah, I'm honestly very impressed with him. And I think like, I think you're right. The one thing we're missing is like, you know, any sort of like power structure or whatever. But I do feel like he has the ability to talk his way in and out of situations. And so for me, I'm between a 6 and a 7, but I honestly think I'm just going to bump him up to a 7 because I'm really loving what he's doing so far. So, yeah, I'm going to give him a 7.
There you go. Booyah. What do you say?
What I say is I am so happy that people who knew Kevin talked to us in the preseason or like gave the heads up of like, hey, he is not this video bio. Yeah, he's better.
Not him.
I'm so happy he survived that first week and he's been able to prove that the whole way through. Mm-hmm. Mari said something very interesting on the podcast last night, saying that typically she's been geared to like not really root for this archetype, you know, like the big super fan, like the nerdy super fan. Kevin brings something to this role that I don't think anyone else really has. He has got this charm. He does have this charisma about him. He is not afraid to make people laugh. He's not afraid to, you know, drum up situations for the entertainment of others. And in the midst of all that, he also recognizes game. He is able to read game. He's doing so much. And I'm so, so glad that he is, you know, in a position where he can show that to us and he is presenting that to us. I think the one fault to Kevin's game right now would be if he's up against the wrong person, I don't think people may not go to bat for him like heavily, like, oh my God, Kevin needs to stay. He might not have that. But then the question becomes, how likely is it that he's on that block? Not that likely. Like he's doing decently right now. I don't think he's in that bad of a spot at all. So I'm going to go ahead though. And I think regardless of what I give my rating, I think the 7 is complete. So I'm going to keep our boy humble. I'm going to give him a 6.
There you go. It's Puya saying,
I do hate you.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Listen, you're a bad boy, Kevin. Okay. Deal with it.
Bad boy.
All right, let's talk about Kyle. Let's talk about Kyle. And I think it's me starting here with Kyle. You know, every time I make a prediction on Thursday night about Kyle, it turns out to be wrong. When he won HOH, I was like, all right, here we go. Straightforward week, easy week. Here we go. And then. Nope. Then last Thursday when Gino won the HOH, I was like, oh, look at that. I guess those of you that took the risk on Kyle as a 1, it's gonna pay off because he's gonna survive. And there's no way he gets a 1 on a week where he survives. He's going up. It's up, up, up for Kyle stocks. No, Kyle only goes down. You should know by now. Everyone should know by now. Kyle's a one. He's going home. There's no hope for him. His campaigning is terrible, and he's being sent out by his best friend in the game. This is as one as it gets, except for last week, which was even more one. It's a one. Melissa, yeah. What do you say?
It's a one. Oof, one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. All for one and one for Kyle. Let's go.
Look at this. Even the audience.
Oh, wow. The audience rarely gives ones.
And there's one. The balance.
Yeah. Last week they gave him a two, but this week they're like, all right. He's definitely leaving now. All right, it's fine. It's time. It's time to give him the one. It's going to be straight ones for Kyle. Back-to-back ones. I don't know if that's ever happened before, actually. I don't know. It's possible. But
yeah, I feel like usually when someone gets a one, it means that they're going out the door. So this is kind of a rarity.
What did Frenchie get week one?
I think my rating for Frenchie kept him up. I think he was getting like twos and stuff. And then I was a little bit higher on him. I think I gave Frenchie a four in week one because I felt like if he survived the following week, there was still room for him in the game, but then that didn't work out.
I think we've learned our Frenchie lesson. And then when you have a Frenchie like HOH, it's not good for them.
I've learned French since then. Yes. I mean, the thing about Frenchie though, like, and genuinely when people are like, who's HOH is worse? I genuinely think Frenchie's HOH is significantly better than Kyle's. Like Frenchie over the course of HOH, his HOH built a bunch of structures that could have worked. And like Brent came close to winning in week two. And if he had, like, who knows how the rest of that game plays out. But like he at least built some things and had options and had allies left at the end of the week. Kyle came in with a ton of things and destroyed them all and was left with nothing afterwards.
Yeah.
It's very different.
I'm very excited for your exit interview with him, to be honest. I really want to know, like, what happened? What happened in there? You know,
I will do my best. I will say, like, I do enjoy the exit interviews. I think they're very fun and you should definitely check them out. I'm pretty restricted in terms of, the questions and stuff like that. So, it should definitely be an interesting interview, but, please don't be mad at me if I'm not able to sort of like,
say more.
Like the way that I like to interview people is like on the Taran show where I just let the conversation go where it must.
Right.
But I kind of have to lock in what I'm asking ahead of time. So I can't really go off script.
All right. Question one. What the heck happened in there? What were you thinking? That was crazy. What's right. going on? I had no idea you were going to play that way. And what was your answer?
Well, he did reference Frenchie's HOH today he did equate it to himself. So I think he has gotten the post HOH clarity. So it'll probably be a more mellowed out Kyle by the time you get to him, Taran, because I think he's, especially now he's got 3 days to just settle into the idea that he's gone and it's over. So I do think he's probably going to mellow out. I don't think he's going to be completely, oblivious to his wrongdoings now. Obviously, if you had asked me this Saturday morning, given the energy he was putting out there when he thought he was safe, he had no idea. He's kind of hard fall. So
I just feel like I want to know, like, what logic is there to like target within your alliances before turning outward? Like, you should first look outward and then turn it. What is the logic behind in to out?
That's the thing. Like, what I really want to yell at Kyle is like, dude, Moose was with you.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
And the only explanation is something external to the game. Like, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it defies logic. Like, you've got other pieces outside of you. Like, we're not far in the game at this point. You could have targeted someone else but kept an eye on Moose or whoever and been like, okay, like I'm going to keep my eye on them. I don't fully trust them, but like right now we're working together. Like it just doesn't make any sense to target people within your alliance, like, and within like both of your alliances, not just don't know.
Yeah. So it's like, I could ask him like, what made you think that Moose wasn't on your side? But then he's just going to give me the whole same thing we've heard a million times. You know what I mean? So you got to be very careful with your
question. Can you ask him like, why target within your alliance?
Oh yeah.
First?
But he'll give us the same answer we've been hearing on the feeds for the last 2 days. You know what I mean? He'll give the whole spiel.
Can you put emphasis like, though in the voice? Like, why? Why did you do this?
Why, Kyle? Why did you do this to us?
What was the thought? Yeah, that's what you got to say.
All right, let's talk about Marty. How are we feeling about Marty, Melissa?
You know, I feel like, you know, he was in a similar position to Herman this week. I don't feel like he handled it as well as Herman handled it. I feel like he kind of was just like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I did turn against you guys. It's like, okay, well, that's really not what you're supposed to like go with here. Especially because Marty is the one who had Kyle put him on the block, who was the one like behind the whole thing. And then, you know, just all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, no, I didn't go with you guys, even though you did this for me. I really don't feel like that's great for him. And I also don't feel like, I don't feel like he's in a solid place with a lot of people at this point. It doesn't really feel like he, you know, at this point, if I'm in the game, I would have trouble trusting him, because he convinced Kyle to do something and then immediately turned against him. So, I don't know. I mean, the fact that he won the veto is good. I will give him that. But the fact that he was put on the block to begin with by someone who supposedly was an ally of his, that's really not good. I think it really could go anywhere from here, but I think he could have been going home this week. And I think that's pretty bad for next week, depending on who wins HOH. So, yeah, I think at this point, I kind of just want to stick with my four. Yeah, I'm just going to stick with my four, and I'm just going to, we'll see how this pans out.
All right, Puya, do you agree?
I did up until about maybe an hour or so ago. I did change my rating. So here's the thing with Marty. Marty doesn't want to lie in this game. Marty, you absolutely
You're allowed to lie.
He told you, you should be able to lie in this game. You're being ridiculous. Second thing. Marty literally laid down the first night after HOH and was like, I'm not even going to go talk to Gino. What's the point? He was like being he went full martyr. He added an R to his name, became martyr, and just was like, I deserve it. Like, I did this. Whatever happens, happens. Now, he has comp ability, which I do appreciate for him. I think he needs this comp ability. Ultimately, he was looking to be maybe in a position where he could have pivoted a little bit. You know, he has Josh now wants to work with him, and like he was able to smooth everything with Josh. I like that for him. That looked decent. That was fine. He looked like Gino was going to be okay with him. That was decent. That was fine. But he gives away so much information because he doesn't know when to stop. And earlier today, he had a situation where he walked into a room and was like, yep, I'm the reason Josh went up on the block. And Josh was like, dude, like, shut up. Stop it. What are you doing? Why are you saying this to people? And, you know, Kevin's had to beg him, please stop talking about this. Like, please stop talking about the votes. This was the morning before the nominations. So I feel like he's actively hurting his own game by playing it the way he is. I think he has the capability to play a better game. He just isn't doing a good job of controlling any of that. So for me, I was ready to go to a four, but I'm bumping it down to a three for me.
All right. Well, the audience is more on Melissa's speed on this one. The audience gave Marty a four, but I am more with Puya on this one. I gave him a three as well. A few reasons. One, he did like flip his vote, right? Like he flipped his vote. He didn't really need to. It kind of worked out in some ways. It kind of did in other ways. I mean, in the space of like mostly the space that we are talking about, he convinced Kyle to put up Josh, then changed his mind, told Josh he did it, flipped his vote. Then when Gino won the HOH, which granted was his worst case scenario, very bad luck that happened. But when it did happen, we saw him do something that I really hate in a Big Brother player, which is, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not fake. I'm not going to go suck up to, I'm not going to change who I am. And he didn't even bother. And like, if he's going to do that again, it's not going to work out for him the next time, you know? That's not good. And now he's trying to pull off this weird thing where he's like, I'm secretly cool with the guys, but I'm also with all of you over here on this side. And he does still have some allies like Kevin and Josh, but he's getting caught. Like people see what he's doing. Kyle's throwing his name right under the bus and he's not helping his own case. And now you are getting people like Betty and Tanisha talking about potentially targeting Marty. And that's not good for him. So I don't like it. I think Marty's in a lot of danger. I just don't have a lot of faith in his ability as a player. I think that he has, like, Marty's one of those players that, like, if he could just get out of his own way, he could be a good player.
Yes.
But he can't. He just can't help himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So there it is. I gave Marty a 3. Moose is up next. Let's talk about Moose. Booyah. How do you feel about Moose?
It's interesting because after last week, Moose had a rough week last week. It wins the veto, potentially saves himself completely. But this week, it's not been the Moose that we've been seeing earlier in the season. It's a more quiet, mellowed out Moose. You don't hear about Moose all that much on updates. You don't see all that much of Moose on the feed. Like, he's very much blended into the background a little bit, quieted out, and is looking to be fine. He's obviously still, like, you know, one or two people, three people, and like he could still end up on the block somewhere. But he is reshifting his game, which I love for him. The number one person that, funnily enough, the one person that has been speaking the most about him is also the one that should have not been speaking about him because he knows him the longest, and I digress, is going home. So, you know, where there's a Moose, there's a way. I feel like Moose looking like he can pivot from this, looking like he can do well. I'm surprised that he got a 5 last week because I think that's what he should be getting this week. So I'm going to give him a 5. In my head, it's a bump up, but it's the same rating as last week.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have Amon on the podcast.
You never know.
You never know with Amon.
The audience is with you. They gave Moose a 5 as well. Also, something I forgot to mention about Marty real quick from me is that I actually think that Kyle leaving is, again, not a good thing for Marty. Now, granted, he wasn't able to, like, you know, smooth things over with Kyle. But if he could have just told Kyle what he wanted to hear, that could have been fine. And Kyle staying in the game would have been much better for him. Because again, now that Kyle's leaving, Kyle now has a lot of reason to throw Marty under the bus, which is hurting Marty's game. And now people are going to be looking at Marty instead of Kyle because Kyle's already gone. Not good for Marty. But for Moose, it is pretty good. Kyle, I mean, for as much as like maybe another Kyle HOH would have been chaos, in reality, it probably would have just been,
where's Moose?
I got to target him. Because he still was talking about Moose. He still has not stopped talking about Moose. So Kyle leaving is good because nobody else is really talking about Moose. Some people are talking about Moose in terms of like his connection to Herman or his connection to Gino or whatever. But those people are bigger targets than Moose. Nobody's really looking at Moose as a primary target right now, but he's still not in the best position in the game.
Right.
I would kind of equate it to like almost like the Betty spot right now. Where it's like he could definitely still just end up on the block and maybe even just go home randomly. Nobody's really targeting him, but he's not really like doing enough right now to keep himself off of that spot. So I don't like that. I feel like Moose was a little too hot at the beginning, and now he's a little too cold. He touched the stove and he was like, ah. I'm not touching that stove again. And he has not been talking enough with people. He has not been doing enough. And now if this is intentional and he is intentionally lying low to reset everyone on how people view him in the game, I feel like that could work. But right now what it's doing is convincing people that he's still gaming, just not with them. Again, when you don't talk game, it makes you less trustworthy. In order to be trustworthy, you need to talk game enough, a good amount of game with enough people without being overboard with like, we got to target this person and then we got to target this person. Just talk to people a little more often. And I think you will be in a good place here, Moose. I do think that he needs to move up from the 4. His position has improved. I will give him the 5. But it is barely a 5 for me. I do think that Moose still has a long way to go before he gets into a position where he's in a really solid spot. A 5 for me for Moose, but I need more Moose. I need more. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, 5 for me as well. I feel like it could go either way. He could either, get worse or get better or be in a worse position, better position. But right now he's kind of just in the middle. So I'm interested to see where he goes from here. But right now it really is just in the middle out of 5.
Before we proceed, can I change one of my ratings, or do we not allow that? Do we not allow addendums?
I would say at this point, as long as it doesn't change the overall
rating.
It
won't. I did the math. Yeah. Can we give Josh a 7 from me?
There you go.
It makes more sense on my ratings. Yeah.
I could tell it was bothering you. You thought about it before too, as well. And you're like,
eh. Especially because it doesn't impact it. Like I want it to represent that way. So yeah.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Let's give Josh that 7 from
Puya. My arguments were so bad that Puya was like, no, I'm really not on Melissa's side. I want to show how far I am. She's so wrong. No, I'm going to go even higher.
No. For me, it's like I'm looking at my 6s and I'm like, I really feel like you did better than the 6s in this.
It's true. Yeah. I do base a lot of my ratings off of like how I'm rating other people. Cause it's like, well, I think they're better than this versus. Okay. Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, let's talk about Summer. We'll start with the audience with Summer. The audience has given Summer the highest rating of the season thus far. Oof. Just barely. This is literally a 7.50.
Ooh.
It's an 8 Ooh. Overall. Just on the line. It's an 8 for Summer from the audience. And I will say, I have been kind of back and forth about where I want to go with my rating for Summer, because I think that last week, Summer was my highest rating. I gave her a 7. Nobody else even had a 7. And I felt like she was in the best spot. This week, I think she has only further increased that lead. Now, what she has not done is locked in some kind of structure or something like that. But what she has done is further solidified the relationships that she has with so many people, and locked in her power base and the influence that she has. She also is a huge key reason for Gino deciding to target Kyle. I think that without Summer, it probably doesn't happen. And this is big for her game. It takes out one of the big numbers on the other side. Now, if somebody else who is, under her influence wins HOH, she does not have to waste a week on Kyle because his best friend is taking Kyle out for her. And that's very, very good stuff. And for that reason, like, I think her position and the way that she is the way that she's positioned in the game, the way that she's looking like she might be positioned moving forward, that's an 8. But I really want to give her a boost for making this happen. I really want to give her the, like, all right, this was a really great week. You literally got Gino to turn on his friend. I want to give her the 9 because of that. I think that this is, this may be her shining moment in the game. Again, like Kevin, I hope not. I hope that she continues to perform very, very well. And again, like, this is the way she could have lost to Nisha. That would have been devastating for her game. But instead, Kyle's leaving. She's still nowhere on anybody's radar. She's in with every single person in this house. Not a single soul is looking at her. Everybody feels like they are with her. And so I think it's kind of rare that a player in her position right now, cause it is so fluid, would get a 9. But I think she is the player that should have it, especially given the week that she's had. So, for me, that's where I'm at. Melissa, what say you?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Summer, honestly. Like, I felt like for the weeks before this, I was kind of like, yeah, she's a good social player. Like, the people really like her. She has good relationships. But, like, what else? Like, does she have that strategic ability? And I feel like we just saw it this week come into full power. And she gets Gino to put up his ally, which is crazy. And she does it in a way that's not like, hey, you need to do this. She kind of does it in a way that, like, utilizes the social aspect of it and utilizes like the personality and the fun and like the jokiness, but also like the, hey, I'm going to influence you to do this. And I just feel like Gino doesn't leave the situation thinking like, oh, you know, Summer is forcing me to do this. You know, he kind of comes with it thinking like, I had this idea. But she really is the one who kind of pushed him into doing it. So I do really, really, I think she's just done such a great job so far. And really nobody's looking at her to put on the block. They all love her. And I feel like that's a huge thing. I mean, for a little while, we were kind of saying, oh, Summer and Tanisha, like they're kind of similar. They're doing a lot of stuff together. You know, they are in the same alliances and groups. Like, you know, they're working together. What's the difference there? Maybe Summer had some more social ability. Now I feel like we really see a difference. And I'm just very impressed with what Summer has been doing so far. So I'm going to give her an 8.
All right. Booyah. What do you say?
Listen, I love Summer in the winter and now I love Summer in the spring. Summer is very fun to watch, number one. Number two, Summer operates in the shadows. I really love how Summer is able to, you know, plant seeds, inception people, and do it in a way that no blowback is on her for any of it. It's very subtle. It's put in the middle of a social conversation that doesn't even seem like it's a strategy-based conversation at moments. I am infinitely impressed with Summer. I'm loving everything that I'm seeing from Summer. And I think that currently she is the best player in that house, hands down. And I only see her improving at this point. Ultimately, you got rid of the person you wanted to get rid of on the HOH of that guy's friend. No one you are aligned with is going, even though one of them could very well have been on the block. That's not happening. I will say, I'm going to break this tie, Taryn, with an 8 because I feel like I want to leave Summer that room to get to the 9. And I think she could, and I think she will. So I'm going to give her 8 and maybe even give some people that weren't in on the Summer stock to get in before it's too late, before it's no return. Okay. Get in.
I did. All right. There you go. Yeah. And I just, you know, I think like what Summer did this week, I think one of the reasons why I was so impressed is that Summer did something. And I feel like this doesn't happen too often when I'm watching the show, but Summer did something where I was like, I would not have done that. Like, I would not have tried to convince Gino to take out Kyle. Cause once it seemed like, cause Gino was actively saying, don't even try. Like, don't try to tell me what to do on my HOH. I feel disrespected by people doing that. I would have taken that at face value and been like, you know what? I'm not going to push anymore. I might not have even pushed in the first place. I would have let somebody else do it. And I would have been like, I would have taken the Kevin approach. But Summer saw something that I did not in Gino, and she saw the opening and she saw that she could do it, and she did it, and she succeeded. And I'm super impressed by that. So that's where I'm at with Summer. But
and we found out today Summer is a live feed watcher as well.
Yes, she played us.
Yeah. I got on the show because I was petty against my ex coworker. Well, and you watch and you studied up properly. You watched the feeds. You know who said they studied up all year and didn't watch the feeds? The guy with the ones on the board.
Yeah, who didn't
right now.
Actually study.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He tricked us. He said he said that he studied.
Melissa,
he said
tricked
that he
you.
Prepared.
You drafted him. He tricked you.
I'm sorry. Everyone else would have.
Would I have?
Everyone can say they wouldn't have, but they would have.
I mean, I was in charge of the draft. I knew who was going first.
But, you know, I just think that it goes to show that, like, just purely watching the episodes is not the same as watching the
feed. Not
feet.
Close.
It's not the same at all. And, like, you're not going to get a full picture of the game if you just watch a couple seasons, especially if you don't watch all the seasons. It's like, you know, I don't know. Like, you don't have to watch every single season, but it definitely adds something to know, like, where people went wrong, where people went right. If you watch one season, you're only going to get that one season's perspective. Every season is different. And especially, you know, the live feeds are different than the seasons. So, yeah, I don't know. And obviously, you should watch podcasts and listen to podcasts about it, of course. Duh.
Obviously. yeah, and I mean, I said this last week, I'll say it again. Summer continues to be just like the light to watch. Anytime Summer's on camera, like it's an enjoyable experience. She just like, and that's part of why she's so good in the house. She just has this energy to her, and a kind of like unique sense of like personality and humor that really is fitting the game very well. So definitely one to look out for here, Summer. But let's talk about her her partner here, her partner in crime, her duo, Tanisha. Let's talk about Tanisha. I've been a little bit low on Tanisha, and I can't say that I am rising too much. I gave her a 5 last week, and I feel like I have to give the 5 again. I feel like in some ways her game has improved, and in other ways her game has gotten worse. There are still a lot of people looking at her. She very nearly went up on the block this week, and it wasn't really her doing that she didn't go up on the block. And she, like, just for like she, for whatever reason, people still just look at her as a big target, and people are looking to put her up on the block. And it's just like, why? They shouldn't be. She should be in a much better position considering what she's doing in the game, and how she's positioned right next to Summer, who's doing so well. But unfortunately, the way that Summer's playing is not like doing the best job of like protecting Tanisha in the same way that like a big locked in structure might. But I just don't feel like Tanisha has been active enough, and I still am concerned that people are looking at Tanisha as a potential person to nominate or to target. And so for me, Tanisha has to remain a 5. I do think that the more Summer, you know, gains a foothold in the game, the better Tanisha will become in terms of her rating and her position. But and maybe it's just like the contrast between how Summer is playing versus how Tanisha is playing. But I just don't see it for her here just yet. Maybe once things start to solidify in another direction, we will see. But for now, it's still a 5 from me. Melissa, what do you say?
Yeah, I agree. It's a 5 from me as well. I feel like people see her as a threat. People see her as a target. She could have gone home this week, which isn't good. So yeah, I just feel like she's not really in a great position. And the fact that people are viewing her as some sort of like, you know, I don't know, strategic mastermind or something, like, that's not good for her game, especially considering that she's not one. So I mean, I do hope that, you know, she could find a footing with Summer, you know, kind of helping her out there or something. But at this point, I don't know if I'm seeing it. And the fact that like, she could go next is concerning to me. So yeah, that's a 5.
All right. Oh yeah.
I also had her at a 5. For me, you know, I just talked about how Summer is getting no blowback, no blood on her hands. No one's looking at her. For some reason, a lot of people looking at Tanisha, a lot of people talking about Tanisha. And I feel like Tanisha is someone who can only improve with every passing week. At least that's how I currently feel. I do think she can get figure the game out more so than some other people we have rated here tonight, but I've currently not seen it. I do think also Tanisha, where she is hurt is that, you know, you look at the person she's closest with in Summer, and in no scenario, if they both end up on the block somehow, is Tanisha staying. Genuinely don't see that happening. And I think, you know, that is something that will hurt her as well. I think that I'm intrigued to see how Tanisha handles being on the block. Because I feel like we saw Josh end up on the block. It unlocked Josh. Josh is now out here starting to do stuff, starting to be a little bit more involved. So I'm curious to see how Tanisha handles it. By no means do I think Tanisha's out of the running in this game. I just think that she still has a ways to go before she gets to where she needs to be.
All right, there you go. Well, the audience is going to cap it off here as well with a 5. 5 straight 5s for Tanisha there this week. And those are the ratings. That's what we have for the Stockwatch this week. What a week.
Yeah. If you invested in the right person, you made a huge improvement on what happened last week. When there's a crash, there's always a rise. So
yeah,
that's very true. Yes.
There's a few Summer, people who went up.
Summer, I believe, will be the best buy here. Josh is going to be pretty good. Kevin is going to be very good. And I think that's going to be mostly it. The rest might be Betty will give you a little bump as well. Mm-hmm. But the rest are either Herman also a little bit, a little
14%, yeah.
So there you go. Let's see if the leaderboard has an update for us here. This is where we were at the end of last week. And if it will load up for us here, this is a new leaderboard. Look at this. We have somebody in first place, Sam Lane here in first place, who went all in on summer. I imagine after going all in on, I believe summer was in first, was the best buy the previous week as well. Yeah. So yeah, it was in on summer last week and this week. The difference between Sam Lane and the next two, in general is that, Sam also put one in on Kevin.
I love these little bits.
Yes.
Just one in on Kevin.
Getting that extra little bit of edge over your competitors to take the lead. All right. Let's see. Last week I had a rough week. I had a rough week. Let's see where I am this week. Little bit of a bounce back. Little bit.
Were you before like 1,000 or something?
I was in like 900th place or something like that. I did go in on summer, so I made the right call. I did put my one share in on Kyle because he was the only one I could afford.
Same. I had my one Kyle share because that $1. I was like, okay, $2.
I went up 400 places. Nice. And I'm back at about what I would have had if I hadn't gone in on Gino in the first week. So yeah, not terrible, not terrible. Let's see what Melissa was up to this week. Okay. Look at this. You went in on Kevin and Helena.
Okay. One up, one down, right?
Yes, I believe
I'm the best
so.
Melissa.
You are the best Melissa at the moment and still ahead of me, I think, in the ratings, the rankings.
Wow. Okay.
With, yes, 264. So overall a net positive with, Kevin over Helena, but, you made $29 overall.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I'm doing pretty well. Kevin's, doing you pretty know, well. Bumping me up. I like it.
What do you got here, Puya? Puya, look at this. Puya went in on her mom.
Oh, Puya is the best of us.
Yes, in 286th place. What was this, like $4 or so more than Melissa right now?
Six-ish, yes, not much.
What were you like last? That. What was Puya last week? Did he go up?
Let's see here. Last week he went in on Herman as well. And so he did. He did move up. He moved up 34 rankings this week. He made $50.
My one Marty stock and my Herman stock last week, I profited $1.15. Like I'd got nothing last week.
Oh my
I'm happy
God.
With this week. This is good.
Yes, I see.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Oh boy. All right. Well, that's what we've got for the leaderboard. I managed to bounce back a little bit here with my faith in summer. We'll see how far the rest of it will get. But, that's the stock watch this week.
Nice.
What a season so far. Hopefully they can maintain this energy, as they push forward through the season.
It's been really fun so far. I'm really enjoying it. So I feel like, I hope that it stays like this and doesn't, you know, just turn into one big alliance and everyone just like is like, you go.
Yeah. If I could handpick who I want gone next week, just to like have the jury be the players remaining, if JC Lin was to leave next week, I feel like we have the best potential group of people to go into the jury phase. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. I don't think JC Lin staying is going to change that anyway. Overall, it's been a very fun season so far. I can't remember the last time I've been this much invested in watching feeds. I'm watching a lot more feeds than I did last year, than I did the year prior. I'm very much having a good time with this. And I'm here for more. Give me more. Not Kyle Moore.
Wait, I was going to say, whoa.
Give me more with one O, singular O.
All right, Melissa, any final thoughts?
Just that this season's been really good so far. I am disappointed that Kyle's leaving, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I don't think that this is, you know, a death knell for the season or anything. I don't think this is going to kill anything. I just do think that, like, there could have been more storyline there for my enjoyment. But overall, I'm really loving it so far. And I'm interested to see how after Kyle leaves, how this whole thing shakes out and if this turns out to be a good move for Gino or a bad move for Gino.
All right. Well, That's what we have for you this week on the Roundtable. We will be back next week, of course, to give some more ratings and, you know, crush your dreams or give you all the profits. We'll see all of this moving forward. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. Tomorrow night, we will have an episode at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then Survivor will be on at 8. I will be on Twitch live during both episodes. Watching should be a lot of fun to do that. And then I will be recording, I believe, with Melissa, a quick little recap of the Wednesday night Big Brother episode. And then the Survivor Stock Watch will be pushed back a little bit. I believe we'll be recording that on Friday, doing a big crossover episode with Shannon. We both have weekly Survivor podcasts. We're combining them into one. And it's gonna, that should be a lot of fun there over on Friday if you want to hear the Survivor Stock Watch. I also have the Taran Show running. You can hear my episode with Tyson, and just today I recorded one with Peridium, and then we're gonna put that out. So Peridium, a big time YouTuber who makes videos about Big Brother and Survivor. Check out my Taran Show with Peridium coming soon. Find me on Twitter as well, at Armstrong Taran. Puya, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. They can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream that 3-4 times a week. Come through, say hi. And then as far as the podcasts go, 90 Day Fiancé and The Masked Singer, both of them on the reality TV wrap-ups. Both of them have been very fun. And one is with Rob, one is with Liana, both my favorites. And then another favorite, I should say, honestly, I should say this because I don't want him to think that he's not my favorite. I got a podcast with Chappelle over on Post Show Recaps talking Bel Air, which has been a lot of fun. We now have two episodes remaining. We had Emily Fox on with us this past week. Check us out over there. That's always a good time as well. And I just did the feedback show for last week's Survivor with Rob as well, which was a lot of fun.
All right. And you can, of course, find Melissa at It's Melissa with 3 A's. So glad she could join us here today. We would have greatly missed her if the spaghetti monster had eaten her soul.
Spaghetti monster.
So thank you all so much for joining us tonight, and we will see all of you next time.